The lesson that you're about to hear, I heard back in the 60s. It impressed me so much that I used it here at Oceanside on December the 11th, 1986. And I had a hard time finding the lesson. That's 28 years ago. But the interesting thing about it is that it must have impressed others. And when Victor asked the Bible, asked for Bible questions and suggestions for sermon topics, a request was submitted for this lesson to be repeated. And so it is 28 years later. The lesson centers around a fictitious man that we will name Sam Shepherd. Although Sam is a fictitious character, in reality, there are hundreds and thousands of people who are just like him, who are real in life today. Maybe even some in this audience tonight are like this fictitious individual. My prayer is that you will be so impressed with his story that you will not delay your obedience to our Lord any longer. The title is The Day Christ Came Again. And it goes like this. It wasn't an ordinary day. It was a most ordinary day. That day the Lord came again. It would seem like Sam Shepherd would have had at least some kind of premonition as he rose that morning. But had he done so, then God's promise would not have been sure. For it says, "But the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only." Matthew 24 and verse 36. And so Sam arose as usual, still feeling a little tired and still not used to these early hours, even after 2 years. Sam had taken a job as a UPS driver delivering packages. He decided this morning he would try not to awaken his wife, Marge. She needed the rest. He thought that what with running around after our little daughter all day as he got up, she certainly needs the rest. And so he got up quietly, looked down at her sleeping wife, and smiled lovingly. You see, Marge was a Christian, and she so badly wanted him to be one. In fact, they had had a long discussion about it just a few days ago. And then following that discussion, it seemed like last Sunday the preacher was preaching right at Sam. Of course, that wasn't actually true. He admitted with a smile as he started breakfast, "After all, I wasn't the only one there." But I guess the shoe did fit. What was it he preached on? Oh yeah, I remember. He preached on Christ coming again. Sam had enjoyed most of the sermon. He had especially enjoyed the stories of those who had tried to set the date that Christ was coming back. How some people had donned white robes on the day set and had climbed to the top of houses and trees and mountains to be ready to meet the Lord. He had also been impressed with the biblical proof that Christ was coming again, and that according to the signs mentioned in the Bible, Christ could come at almost any time. I do think, though, thought Sam as he ate his bacon and eggs, that the preacher was being maybe a little bit melodramatic when he said that Christ could come again maybe even in the next 5 minutes. But he didn't. Of course, Marge and the preacher are probably right, he admitted, as he stacked the dishes in the sink. "I really don't know why I'm waiting. Someday I will become a Christian." And when he was ready to leave, he peeked in to see his sleeping daughter, little Julie. His heart welled with love as he looked down at her little angelic face. And then he went in to kiss Marge goodbye. And as she returned his kiss sleepily, he smiled to think how happy she would be when he went down the aisle to be baptized. "What are you smiling about?" she asked. "Oh, nothing," he said. So he pulled on his jacket and went out the bedroom door. Little did he know that he would never see them again. For the next hour or so, Sam was too busy to think about much more than his job. There were instructions to check, there were packages to load, arrangements to be made, and finally, however, he started out on the day's deliveries. It was a beautiful morning. This was one of the things that Sam liked about this particular job. He liked to see the world wake up each morning. He liked to see it bright and fresh after a night's rest, before it had a chance to become tired and spoiled again. He also enjoyed the quietness that existed in the morning. He got a chance to think between the deliveries that he made. And as he drove along, he smiled as he saw signs of neighborhoods beginning to stir and wake up. From homes there came sounds of electric razors, the smell of bacon frying, and behind him he could see housewives in their housecoats with their hair still up in curlers as they opened their doors, looking about cautiously, and then quickly grabbing the package he had left and then ducking back inside. Sam continued on his way, enjoying the beautiful day. But for some reason, the preacher's sermon kept coming back to him over and over again. As he smelled the breakfast cooking, a passage the preacher had quoted suddenly forced its way into his mind. They were eating and drinking, Matthew 24:38. He passed a church building and noticed that rice was scattered all out around the front door, evidence of the wedding of the night before. And he thought again, marrying and giving in marriage, Matthew 24:38. He passed a sign, a home with a sign on the front door, "Night workers, please do not disturb it." And he thought of this verse, "There shall be two in one bed, and one shall be taken and the other shall be left," Luke 17:34. He passed the bakery and he thought again, "Two shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left," Luke 17:35. As he drove near the edge of town, he saw a group of farm workers on their way into the fields. And this passage came into his mind. "Two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, and the other left," Luke 17:36. In spite of himself, Sam gave a little shudder and then pushed those thoughts to the back of his mind. "Why am I getting so morbid this morning? If Christ hasn't come in over 2,000 years, why should he suddenly choose to come now? And after all, I'm strong and healthy and good for a long time yet. I need to be thinking about living and not about the end of everything." It really was a beautiful day. All the people that he saw smiled at him as he rode by. On a wonderful day like this, Sam thought, it's hard to realize that there's so many troubles that exist in the world. Famines and war and sickness and death. On a morning like this, it's just great to be alive. This too should have sounded a warning to Sam on this day. For the Bible says, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them." But it did not register with Sam. Sam continued on his way. He carried packages to homes and to stores. He carried packages back to his truck from one stop to another, the same as he had done every morning for the past 2 years. But not quite the same. There really was no advance warning at all when it happened. Generally, there's a feeling in the air when something is about to happen, but there was nothing. Generally, animals with some sort of special sixth sense can sense and are nervous when tragedy is about to strike. But there was nothing. And as usual, men were growling and snarling, some still not quite awake. As usual, boys and girls were turning up their noses at the food that was set before them. In Africa, a sleeping child was whimpering in its sleep because it had no food. In communist China, an official was working late, was checking the quotas set for the week. In Australia, a bushman was stalking his game, as his ancestors had done for centuries of time. And in America, a man was worrying himself sick over how he was going to pay his bills for the month. He needn't have bothered. A preacher was working on his sermon outline and worrying about what to preach next time. He needn't have bothered. There was no warning. None at all. Life with all of its good, life with all of its evil, was going on as usual this morning. And then it happened. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-3. As the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:27. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Sam was near a cemetery when it happened. The shout traveled throughout the atmosphere, faster than the speed of light or even the speed of sound. It was a shout that penetrated to the core of the earth, to the depths of the ocean, to the very center of a man's soul. Sam wrecked the truck, but it didn't matter now. Sam had never before heard the voice of God, but there was no question in his mind as to what this was. Neither had he seen Jesus. But again, somehow, some way, he knew exactly who this was and what was happening. No, no, no. His thoughts began. This can't be happening now. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and all kindred of earth shall wail because of him. Revelation 1:7. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. The skies all around were filled with color. The blue of the atmosphere was blotted out by the whiteness of the cloud. The glory of the angels, the appearance of fire, and all of this was also blotted out by the magnificence, brilliance of Jesus. Now the earth began to tremble, and its surface began to be filled with gaping holes. In the cemetery nearby, the graves began to open. The dead started to come forth from them and everywhere. Their bodies were unlike anything Sam had ever seen. They were flesh, but not flesh. They were solid, but not solid. For some reason, the word incorruptible came to mind. It was no surprise to him that some looked happy and some did not. Sam could also feel that something was happening to himself. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5:28-29. And we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. When all of this happened, Sam started running. He was not far from home, and his only thoughts were to reach that haven. He was in a daze. Faintly in the distance, he could still hear the trumpet sound, a sound that chilled him to the very marrow of his bones. Out of the corner of his eye, he was aware of glorious bodies rising into the air to meet the Lord. It was hard now to keep his feet on the, for the tremors were increasing. In his head, he was aware of the most terrible cry that he had ever heard in his life, a tearing, searing cry of a soul in agony. Several people standing nearby, dazed, whose funerals he had attended earlier. But this did not surprise him. It was some time before he realized that this cry was coming from inside him. He passed. Nothing surprised him now. All around him, the cries and the wails and the screams increased. And from somewhere above him came the sound of singing, a glorious refrain, rejoicing and triumph. But it brought no comfort to Sam or to his soul. He glanced up just once more. Just a few were still rising to meet the Lord in the air. Eventually, most of all of them were there now, he thought. But he continued running, forcing one foot after the other, and suddenly he was at home. He burst into the front door and began running from room to room, shouting, "Marge, Marge, Julie, Marge, Julie." There was Julie's little rag doll there on the floor. Marge's housecoat was still lying on the chair beside the bed. There were evidences of Marge's housework everywhere. He burst into the kitchen. There was the breakfast dishes half done. He felt the dishwater, and it was still warm. It was almost as if, and he knew they were ready. He raced back into the front yard and looked up, but now it was all darkness. He was alone in his sin. And then suddenly the earth shuddered, and he realized that it was like an old machine that had served its purpose, and the old machine was running down now. He looked up again, and the sun was running down also. Now he could stare at the sun without blinking. It became dimmer and dimmer. There was a chill in the air. The stars and the planets became visible at midday, but nothing was motionless. They were darting from here and there throughout the sky. Everything was going crazy. The universe was literally falling apart and flying into pieces. And lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it had rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand before him? Revelation 6, 12 through 17. The thought finally struck Sam that he must now face God. His soul was filled with terror. No. Not now. I'm not ready, he cried. I've got to hide. And stumbling blindly, he made his way back into the house and down the steps into the cellar. Huddling himself in the darkest corner, he continued to mutter to himself, almost insanely, I've got to hide. But there was no hiding. Sam, at that very moment, was riding on a huge ball, streaking through the heavens. It was a ball almost 8,000 miles thick, with a cool outer crust and only a few miles. Inside that ball were tremendous pressures, fires and gases and molten rock. Just one small command from his Lord's voice, and this world would be no more. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. There was a moment of intense light, a moment of intense heat, and then darkness, and then silence. When Sam raised his head again, he knew exactly where he was. And he knew exactly why he was there. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Sam realized that he was with all the people who had ever lived upon the face of the earth, and that all would be judged. And he knew too that he had also acquired a new body, one that was incorruptible, one that would never fade away, one that would never be destroyed. But there was no consolation in that for him, for he knew where that body would spend eternity. Yes, he knew many things now, but it was too late. He knew too that those hypocrites in the church who he had thrown up to his wife time and time again would spend eternity where he was going to spend it. And there was little comfort now in the fact that he was as good as they are. And he even knew that somehow his wife Marge and the little girl Julie would be happy without him. For the Almighty God that can do everything would see to that. But he also knew that he would have to spend an eternity without them, with the full knowledge of that fact, and that it would be an eternity spent without God and without Christ. And somehow he even knew now what eternity was going to be like. Oft he had heard eternity talked about. He had even heard eternity joked about. But why? Why hadn't someone conveyed the bigness, the emptiness, and the vastness of it all? Without end, never ending. So very much had happened to him in a short time. There had been the shout, the sound of the trumpet, the dead rising, those who met the Lord in the air, and the destruction of all things. And Yet he really knew that no time at all had been involved. It was as if time stood still, and now eternity had begun. Then in his heart he heard a name being called. It was his name. It was his turn to receive judgment. And he stepped forward, and even as he did, he knew what the Lord was going to say. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he shall say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. This story really is not true. Sam is a fictitious character. But like I've said to you, there are hundreds of thousands of people living today who live just like Sam. And the terror of the Lord is yet not theirs. It is, however, based upon Scripture. It is based on teachings that we find in the inspired Word of God. The story is based on human reactions that we anticipate. And Paul said, Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11. God commandeth men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17 and verse 30. Although some of the things in this lesson have been assumed, these things that we have said, there are some things in it that we can know for sure beyond the shadow of a doubt. Number one, Christ is coming back. He has promised that he will, and he has never failed in a promise that he has made. Number two, Christ could come back before this very night is over, melodramatic or not. Number three, when Christ comes back, everyone will know it. And just as Sam had never heard the word, voice of God, he knew who it was. And just as he saw Jesus for the first time, he knew who that was also. When Christ comes back, everyone will know where they stand, with the redeemed in heaven or in punishment with the devil in hell. Although it's a fictitious story, it is a serious, serious story. If you're not a Christian, you need to be. I cannot imagine what Sam went through in that day. I cannot imagine the terror that must have penetrated that individual. I'm not ready. The idea, no, not now. But it was too late at that point. My prayer is that this fictitious story will persuade you as to the seriousness of the day of judgment and of being ready when our Lord comes back. If you're not, now's the time to do it. Now you have the time. There's coming a day it will be too late if you postpone it. Won't you come now as together we stand and sing?